So let's review. The Gemara in the previous daf taught, a kosev kol nechasav leishtoi lo'asa el apetrapa. The shchimra, a dying person, assigned all his assets to his wife. The matana is not effective, and she merely becomes the manager of the assets for the heirs because, as the Rashbam explains, oimer hadasu, dein odem manich hezbonah benois nakol leishtoi. There is an assumption that a person would not exclude his children from their inheritance. Therefore, we must say, his intention was merely to appoint her to manage the estate so that her sons will give her the proper respect. The Gemara inquires, what would Allah be regarding a healthy person who assigned all his assets to his wife? Do we say that the matana is effective because of shchimra hu denichilei delishtamoin milo al bebari haikoi ihu? Only a dying person appoints his wife as an apotropos to ensure that when he dies, his wife will be treated with respect. But a healthy person would not appoint his wife as an apotropos because he's still able to ensure that they respect her. Therefore, the matana is effective. Or do we say that the matana is not effective because bari nami nichilei delishtamin milo mehashta? Even a healthy person would appoint his wife as an apotropos because even now he wants his sons to obey his wife, knowing that she will eventually manage their estate. Therefore, the matana is not effective. The Gemara attempts to bring proof from the following braisa. If a person assigned all his assets to his wife, and after he died, his debtor wants to collect a debt from these assets, there's a machlekes. Rabbi Eliezer says, Tikra matnasa betamar al ksubasa. The machlev cannot collect the debt from these assets because we disregard the matana, and the wife retains her original rights to these assets through the ksuba which preceded the debt. As the Rashbam explains, the liyapis koicha nichtav matana zu lezakeis b'meisin nechasim. Avol hilo machle shibit karkasa. The matana was merely intended to strengthen her rights to collect more than the ksuba amount, but she did not relinquish her original ksuba rights to these assets. While the chacham say tikra ksubasa v'tamar al matanasa v'nimtzis karachas mikan u'mikan. The machayv can collect the debt from these assets because the wife lost her original ksuba rights and she only has the rights of the matana which came after the chayv. Because since she accepted these assets as a gift, she relinquished her ksuba rights to these assets. The Braisa implies, time of the yatzal of shtar chayv, halo yatzal of shtar chayv kanya. The machayv can collect from these assets according to Rabbi Eliezer because she relinquished her ksuba rights and the chayv preceded the matana. But if there is no balchayv, all agree that the matana was effective and she does not become an apotropos. Now, this braisa cannot refer to a shchimra because v'amrit lo yosoa el apotropos. It was previously taught that in the case of a shchimra, she does become an apotropos. Therefore, we must say that the braisa refers to a bari. And this proves that regarding a bari, the matana is effective and she does not become an apotropos. The Gemara answers that this is not necessarily so. Perhaps the braisa does refer to a shchimra, and this was the story of a wife whom one does not appoint as an apotropos, as taught in the previous daf. Regarding the braisa's halacha, Rav Nachman says the final ruling is like the chacham, who say halacha tikra ksubasa v'tamar al matnasa v'nimtzis karachas mikan u'mikan. The Gemara points out, lememr deloy ozl Rav Nachman basa umdina. Rav Nachman implies that he holds best and does not consider the intent of people in general who are not meichel their original rights, and he holds that she assumingly was meichel her original ksuba rights to the assets. The Gemara asks, however, from a braisa, a person's son traveled abroad, and when the father heard that his son died, he assigned all his assets to others, and then his son returned. The Tanakhama says, matana. The matana is effective, and his son does not inherit the assets. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasi disagrees and says, ain matanasi matana, she'ilo ha'yideh sh'bnei kaim le'kasman. The matana is not effective because had the father known that his son was alive, he certainly would not have assigned them to others. And there Rav Nachman rules halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Menasya. This implies that Rav Nachman holds as linam basa umdina. Bezdin does consider the intent of people in general who would not assign their assets to a stranger if their son was alive. The Gemara reconciles the two. Generally, Rav Nachman does hold as linam basa umdina. And regarding kasav konachasav le'ishta v'yatzal av shtar chayiv, there is an opposing umdana that denichala detepika lo kala dechsevinu nehalo lahanu nechasim. She wants the matana rights rather than the ksuba rights to publicize that she is trustworthy and held in high esteem by her husband. The Gemara proceeds with a Mishnah Masechtas Peya. It's not hasim, a kasav nechasav lebanda v'kasav le'ishta kaka kalshu av the ksubasa. If a dying person assigned all his assets to his sons, and he also assigned even a small parcel of land to his wife, she cannot collect her ksuba from all these assets. The Gemara offers three explanations as to why she loses her ksuba. Rav says, "B'mezak lehen al yada." The wife supplied her sudur, her kerchief, and performed the kinyan chalipin for the son's portion, even if she was not kibla, she did not give her explicit consent. Abdik subasa, because as the Rashbam explains, kivin de katarti, de kom mishatadla bizchias habonim, become nosin lo karka, vade nisratzitz b'leib shalom amachla hanashibut. Since there was both, her assistance with the kinyan for the sons, and she was given some land as a matana, this indicates that she consented wholeheartedly and relinquished her ksuba rights to these assets. Shmuel says, "B'machalik lefanel v'hishay sakas." Even if she did not perform the kinyan, but she was present during the matana to the sons, and she remained silent. Ibdik subasa because kibin shakasam lekarka b'shaska kaida adami. Since there was both her silence and she was given the matana, this alone indicates that vade nistratzes b'leib shalom amach lehanashibud. Rabbi Yisrael Reb Chanina says, "Ba'im lo tli karka zubik subasaich u'mekulik subeshanukan." Even if she was not present during the son's matana, but her husband told her to accept a parcel of land in lieu of her ksuba and she did not object, this indicates that vade nistratzis b'leib shalom amach lehanashibud. The Gemara, however, brings proof otherwise, that shahaisisham v'kibla la avdik subasa. Only if both she was present at the time of the son's matana and she gave explicit consent, only then she was mechal her ksuba rights. However, if she was not present at the time of the matana, or she did not give explicit consent, she is not meichel her ksuba rights. Tiyufta dekulu tiyufta. Bei Rava, bebari heich. What would the halacha be regarding a healthy person who assigned all his assets to his sons and only a small parcel of land to his wife? Do we say that she was not meichel her ksuba rights because b'shchim rahu diyada de lesle b'kamachla av lebari savra hadur kani? Only regarding a shchim rahu, we assume the wife was meichel her ksuba rights to the assets because since she knows that he has no other assets, she should have objected. However, regarding a bari, she was not meichel her ksuba rights because she assumed that he will acquire other assets and she can collect her ksuba from those assets and therefore she did not need to object. Or even regarding a bari, she would be meichel her ksuba rights because hashda mias lesle, since he currently has no other assets for her to collect from, she should have objected. Teiku, this question remains unresolved.